everyone.
We are here.
We're here, everyone. We've done it. We've come
back. I am here.
No, just stop.
But I'm All Might.
You're not.
Oh. You're can I be Deku?
I think All Might has hair.
His power does come from his hair.
It does. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And you are listening to the Soul of a Gamer podcast. Every week we play a game, we get into the nitty-gritty of the game, and we give you a story on the background of the making of the game.
And not too many spoilers, so don't worry.
Not too many spoilers at all. If there are spoilers, we apologize, but you know that's just the nature of a podcast like this. We hope you enjoyed our last week's episode.
Oh god, you're going to put me on the spot.
It was Sam and Max Hit the Road.
yes, that.
We really... Like, it was a weird game that I actually really enjoyed, so...
Yeah.
Like, strangely enjoyed.
It's one of those games that's like, we can't really recommend playing it, but it's enjoyable to go through.
Yeah, it's a weird, weird game, but it was kind of fun. I'll give it that. Yeah. It was fun. But yeah, this week we are going in a completely different direction, but with another older game.
Yes.
Night Trap!
They're right behind you.
Night Trap.
Some other words.
Yeah. yeah, Night Trap. If you've never heard of Night Trap before, you're in for a fun time, and we cannot recommend enough that you at least try it once.
Yes.
So,
you want to give us a little synopsis of it?
No, actually, because we are starting with, what are you playing this week?
Ah, yes, that.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget every week, but I remembered this week.
See, so, yeah, I was wondering if you forgot, so I was like, are we doing the synopsis first and then going to this?
Well, no, I think I like it this way. I think that's fair. Like doing the what are you playing, and then we talk about the game. But so what are we playing?
So I started another new game and been really enjoying it, actually. Marvel Midnight Suns.
Oh, cool. What's that one?
It's a kind of like XCOM-style fighter game, but with... card combat as well. So like you have a team of three heroes, mm-hmm. and each one has a deck of eight cards, and they're just like different skills and heroic abilities and stuff, and you only get a certain amount of movements and card plays per turn, and you have to try to like complete whatever mission it is. And it's actually the Lilith comes to the Marvel universe, and Hydra summons Lilith to take over the world. And then Lilith's daughter is the main character, daughter or son, however you want to play it, is the main character of the game. And you have to work with Marvel's Midnight Suns and half of the Avengers to take on Lilith.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really fucking sweet. The story of it is intriguing as hell. There's so much more story and so much more puzzle and exploration than I figured this game would have. But it's really interesting.
What platform is that on?
It's on all platforms.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So there you go, guys. If you want to try it along with them, then all platforms.
Yes.
I'm still playing Mass Effect Andromeda.
That's fair.
I'm still just going through it and having fun with it. I forgot how much fun this game was. And I'm still playing Pokemon Scarlet and Violet as well.
Oh, nice. Are those any more enjoyable, or are you still
I'm almost through it. I've done all the weird boss things where you have to beat the big guys to get the extra powers for your guy.
Okay.
And I beat most of the gyms. I think I have one gym and one team bad guy fortress to beat.
Okay.
Can't remember what the bad guy's name is. But it's not as cool as past bad guys. This one's kind of lame compared to like Rocket and them.
That's fair.
So Team Galactic was way fucking better.
Yeah.
But Yeah. I mean, those are our games. So I guess we're just jumping right into our game this week, which is Night Trap once again.
Woohoo!
All right, little synopsis of the story of this game. In the story of Night Trap, you play as a member of SCAT, Sega Control Attack Team. As a SCAT member, you are tasked with help. My God, I can't write for shit, apparently. You are tasked with helping an agent investigate a family's house where a girl's slumber party is taking place. As you make your way to protect the girls by utilizing traps and cameras in the house, you learn that this mission is a little crazier than it first appeared.
Very intriguing.
Yeah, not too out there. not too much information, but you're about to get a lot more information.
Yes, but you're also just like scat.
Yeah, scat.
Scat.
Why that? Oh, you're gonna learn that scat did not always mean Sega Control Attack Team.
I know.
Okay, so the making of Night Trap is one filled with controversy from start to finish. In the beginning, the idea of Night Trap started as an FMV, or full motion video. FMVs were not a popular game style. This style features a full video, either live action or animated, where the character might receive prompts on the screen to activate items in a room or direct an on-screen character into a certain direction. It features a more restrictive game style where interaction with the environment doesn't really exist, but you get a full story while playing. The start of Night Trap is with Hasbro, a popular toy company known for such toys as My Little Pony, Transformers, and G.I. Joe.
And Ted.
I don't give a shit about that. Hasbro wanted to break into the ever-growing video game market. They decided to try and create their own gaming console or console add-on to a VHS player called the Nemo. They essentially stop. You don't even know what Nemo means.
No, I don't.
Captain Nemo. You know where that
comes
from?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah, yeah.
And the League of because
I believe a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. But yeah. I mean, 20,000 Leagues was written in the 1800s, so which I think Extraordinary Gentlemen was far later.
Based on a comic later.
Or a book, yeah. I don't know. But also that Nemo means Captain No Name. Nemo is Latin for no name. Yeah. Okay, so where was I? The play of the Nemo. They essentially funded the starting of a game company, Digital Pictures. In 1987, they hired Tom Zito and James Riley to produce a few games for this endeavor. This was the start of Night Trap. Originally, while coming up for the idea of Night Trap, James Riley had a focus group who came up with the idea of a billionaire who owned a state-of-the-art mansion with an intricate security system. The billionaire was going away for the weekend, but didn't know his teenage daughter had planned to have a slumber party. While the billionaire was away, a group of ninja burglars would try to invade the home and would have to deal with the security system while also looking for the teenage girls. This quickly shifted from ninjas to vampires. Hasbro did have a problem with the vampires, however. They did not want to create reproducible violence. They called it RV, which I thought was funny. Yes. It's a lot of RV here. Biting teenage women on the neck was too much for them, so they asked that the vampires be made toothless and found another way to attack the women. A way that would be harder for kids to reproduce, which it's a vampire. They bite you. What the fuck do you mean?
Well, and they even went to vampires because they're like, okay, let's do something supernatural, because you can't reproduce supernatural. And they're like, but you can still bite people. Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yep.
And it's amazing. The team then came up with the idea of the augers. An auger is a tool used to drill holes in wood. The team thought that the augers would use a trocar, a made-up device that served as an entrapment tool. It would go around the neck, lock in place, drill into the neck, and drain blood from the created hole in the neck. Hasbro,
so much more violent.
Yep, Hasbro, to the amazement of the team, agreed that this was not reproducible and therefore would work as a weapon for the game. It's just so funny. Like, why the fuck would you sit there and say, like, well, okay, a giant stick with a sword at the end of it. Let's fucking do that.
All right, let's make the most ridiculous contraption we can ever think of. So we have, like, one of those, like, you know, like those dinosaur things where you grab the thing and it shuts the mouth? We have one of those, but it's a claw, and it hooks onto the lady's neck, and there's a drill inside of that claw that drills into her neck. Then that's hooked onto a tube that's hooked onto a Ghostbusters backpack that drains their blood.
I mean, it's insane. I thought it was so funny hearing that. I'm like, okay, the biting would have been better for sure.
Seriously, like
I think the problem with the biting they were probably getting to was it's more sexual in nature.
Yeah, probably.
And, you know, this is before game ratings, which comes into play big here, but it's before the game rating system, so there was no real rating to warn people about sexual intent in a game or anything like that, and then sexual intent really didn't exist because of the way games were formed back then, so...
Yeah, and I'm sure you're going to get into the rating stuff later.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Hasbro, though, had a problem with how fast the vampires are, and one of them slowed down. So the team made the augurs sickly vampires that have not had enough blood and have turned into something far from human. The augurs were played by stuntmen who were wrapped in garbage bags.
Not joking.
Not joking. Literally wrapped in garbage bags. And that
and
was really
acted
funny.
Like they had a limp.
Yep. After getting the idea of the game down and getting the script and such approved by Hasbro, the team started to make the game. They didn't have the budget to get a good number of big stars for the game, but they were able to land Dana Plato, who played Kelly. Dana Plato is famous for playing as Kimberly Drummond on the show Different Strokes.
Yes.
Other actors included Tracy Matheson as Cindy, Deborah Parks as Lisa, Allison Rhea as Ashley, Christy Ford as Megan, John Rashad Kamal as Victor Martin, Molly Starr as Sheila Martin, Susie Coate as Sarah Martin, Andres Jones as Jeff Martin, Giovanni Lem as Tony, and William Bertrand as Eddie. With the actors assembled, the team went to Culver City, California, to do the shoot. They spent a month shooting the game, mostly working through days and nights to get the scenes done. It was very unorganized due to the nature of the shooting. In a normal shooting, the actors would be given directions based on the scene and where the actor would end up. There is no set time limit for an average scene. This is different for the game. The game needed the scenes to be played out in blocks. Each block could be any length of time, but had to be that set length. So an 18-second block could not go over or under, because that actor had to be in a different room for the next scene of the game. This made it difficult to give direction to the actors, and scenes were not shot in any set order. James Riley had to walk around with a timeline that depicted the certain times for each scene in a room. This helped keep the cast organized, but still made for a few hectic time filming. I was very confused with what I wrote. The cinematographer, I don't know if you knew this, for the game was Don Burgess, who would go on to work on such films such as Forrest Gump, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, 13 Going on 30, and much more.
I did see that in one of the interviews.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool that he had a huge career. And then James Riley joked about how Night Trap did not ruin Don's career.
Seriously, though.
One thing Don Burgess wanted to do was shoot everything in a super dark atmosphere. This was difficult, though, because it could make the game seem pixelated. Because of that, the game had to be shot with very bright lights. After finishing the shoot, James Riley went on to try and piece together the shots for the game. This came at the same time that Hasbro was realizing how much this game and the idea of the new gaming console was costing the company. At this point, the game had cost around $2 or $3 million to make, and according to James Riley, so Hasbro decided to shelve this project since the cost didn't seem to be worth the effort. After 5 years, in 1992, Sega released an extension onto the Genesis gaming console known as the Sega CD. This device happened to be the perfect thing to relaunch the game that Tom Zito and James Riley had worked so hard to produce. Tom Zito decided to buy all of the shot footage for Night Trap and pitch to Sega. Sega agreed to take it on for their Sega CD extension, and the crew got to work on making the game work for the Sega CD. The Sega CD was not as good as the VHS player at the time, so the game had to be reduced in quality to allow it to be played on the Sega CD. It ran at 15 frames per second.
Oh, wow.
Sega did end up bringing back several cast members of the original shoot to reshoot some scenes to make it appear as though the game was made with the Sega controller in mind. Upon initial release in 1992, the game sold average and came out to above average reviews. And really fast, I didn't put it in here, but the original name of the group, Sega changed it. It was Special Attack Control Team, and then Sega changed it to Sega Attack. Oh, Sega Control Attack Team.
Interesting.
So they just changed the word special to Sega for some reason, and I didn't quite understand why they did that.
To stroke their egos.
I guess. I just don't understand. But why? What is the point? Like, what does that get you? As an ego stroke.
It's meta to say what company it's from.
I guess. And it made sense to reshoot like with the Sega controller in mind, because it was like teaching.
Yeah.
In the past, it had like, I think, a regular like remote control teaching how to pick your choices on the remote control, which made sense that they switched it to the Sega controller. But then why the fuck would they change the name? That just seems stupid. Yeah. Luckily, they usually just say scat in the game, so it's not like they were saying Sega
True.
Control
True.
Attack.
I think they only said that once, the full thing once.
Yeah, and it was only in the beginning. Yeah. Upon initial release in 1992, the game sold averagely and came out to above average reviews, both above expectations of Sega and Digital Pictures. Everything was fine for about a year. Then in 1993, the U.S. Senate decided that video games were becoming too violent and needed to be controlled to better protect children from becoming violent as a result. This led to several game makers appearing before the Senate to testify for the advocacy of their creations. Night Trap was one of the games the Senate used to solidify their argument that games were too violent. In the hearing, someone had edited the game so only the most violent scenes were shown, without context of the plot of the game. One scene in particular is with one of the characters in a nightgown in the bathroom. She is suddenly attacked by three augers, and one of the trocars is wrapped around her neck. This scene is extremely hard to watch for most people because it is not digitized. It is a real-life person in what appears to be a real-life situation. James Riley believes this is why the game was even included in the discussion for the video game violence. Mm-hmm. According to game designer Rob Phillip, there were TV reports that depicted the game as a game about the murder and rape of co-eds.
Yes.
It's just funny that this whole game is all it's about is murder and rape.
Seriously, so many of the hearing things, if you watch any of that, it's just... Like it's senators fun. Just being like, you guys you're saying that rapist is a good thing to do. You're promoting rapist. You're raping in a game. That's the objective of the game. It's like you're trying to save these women from vampires.
Yeah, well, if you've ever seen the interviews of Kurt Cobain talking about his song "Rape Me," and he's like, people would literally come up to me and say, "Why are you making a song about raping women?" He's like, "Dude, that's a song about please don't rape people."
Yeah.
You interpret it how you want because you're a sick person who probably wants to rape women. And I've always found that pretty fucking funny.
Oh, there's a comedian I listened to recently who was like, if the best thing you can ever say to someone is, I hope you get what you deserve out of life. Because if they're a good person, that's the sweetest thing you could have ever said. Mm-hmm. But if they're a piece of shit, they're going to get instantly angry at you. I deserve what? You think I deserve this?
You think I deserve this micropene? Is that what you think?
Yes.
Fair. Rob Phillips goes on to say that the Senate was wrong to try and ban certain games. That nothing makes a 16-year-old boy want something more than banning it from Toys R Us.
Yes.
This reality came to light when sales of the game went through the roof, according to James Riley. In the end, Night Trap was one of the games that inspired the rating systems for games. Due to the pressure from many sources and rumors that Night Trap would be banned from sales in the U.S., Sega pulled all copies of the game and re-released it with the M for Mature rating, which I think is fucking hilarious based on how many porn games I've played and how those are M for fucking mature.
Seriously.
Yeah. It is so it is so fucking funny what they thought M for Mature should be back then.
Well, I mean, like, even games like Grand Theft Auto comparatively to this, it's just like, tame. This is nothing. This is one of those, like, B-rated horror movies that you think is going to be full with nudity that doesn't show a single nude scene. You're like, oh, not even one?
Mm-hmm. Night Trap would have a huge decline because of this and would die until the year 2014, when the original makers of the game wanted to release the game for newer consoles with extra features. With the renewed interest as a result from a video of the original team asking for help, they started a Kickstarter. This fell well short of expectations, however, and only raised $39,000 of $330,000 needed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a lot of money to ask for to re-release a game that probably True. Should have only cost $39,000 to make. You know? So, 3 years later, Tyler Hogle, a computer programmer, was in between jobs and waiting for an offer from a job. Because of all of the free time he had, he started to port other digital picture games onto phones. He had, I didn't write it in here, but he had ported the quarterback game they made in the late 90s and Double Switch?
Oh, okay, Double Switch, nice.
Yeah, I think Double Switch was the other one. A friend had told him he should port Night Trap and post it on YouTube anonymously and see what happens. He ported the first CD of the game onto his phone. It was a little glitchy, but still worked well. After only working for 3 days on it, he posted a video of him playing it on his phone, and the internet and gaming sites became very interested. Some even reached out to Tom Zito asking if he was a part of this. With the news out and people reaching out to Tom Zito, Tyler decided to contact him and let him know that he was the one who did it. Tom was impressed and asked him if he could release the entire thing. After getting a contract worked out, Tyler Hoegle finished the game and single-handedly released the 25th anniversary edition of Night Trap.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. He was the only one. He's the only one who works for the company that he has.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy? This featured extra footage of the game that was never released, as well as a way to play the game and view the entire movie of the game separately after beating the game and watching clips on subsequent playthroughs. Mm-hmm. And that, my friends, is the story of Night Trap.
Yeah, it's such a wild story. Especially because, like, the ESRP rating system, it was this game, Mortal Kombat, and Doom.
Yep.
Those were the other two games compared with this game. Like, what the hell?
And even Mortal Kombat and Doom aren't that bad. It's just bloody. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, you're pulling people's spines out. Sure, that's a little violent. But how is that fucking reproducible? How is anyone going to fucking try to pull anyone's spine out?
Well, and then you think about, like, why games are so over-exaggerated for certain things. You're like, oh, because it couldn't be reproducible. Like, we have games like Grand Theft Auto nowadays that's completely... You can run an entire drug empire in those games.
Yep.
And it's pretty realistic. I mean, for a video game, anyways. Yeah.
But, you know, it's not something that people even try to do. And in fact, if you look at, like, U.S. census rates of violent crimes over the last 50 years, the worst moments of violent crimes were before TV was readily available for everyone, before games were even invented. Like, it just makes no sense that the crime rates have been going down, but for some reason these idiots think they're going up nonstop.
And it's actually ridiculous.
Yeah, and the crime rates are going down in what is considered to be a boosting population, even though it's not, the population isn't a decline. It's higher than it's ever been in the U.S. history. So it's like...
Well, and this is something that I've told to a bunch of people, including, like, my parents way back when, but, like, because they always are like, oh, crime's it's the craziest it's ever been. It's like, no, it's actually the lowest it's ever been.
And but it's
the most in your face it's ever been because of how much social media is around here. Mm-hmm. You can hear about every bad thing that ever happens, but that doesn't mean more bad things are happening. We just were ignorant before. Ignorance is bliss. We didn't have access to every bad thing that happens in the entire world before. Like, most of us were born before Google.
Well, not most of us anymore. I think there's a good number of people out there who are born after Google.
That's true.
But, you know,
most of us our age are born before Google.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, that would be all of us were born before Google. Everyone our age was definitely born before Google.
I was saying an age gap range. I wasn't just saying, if you're above 30.
I understand, but it's just funny the way you put it is, like, everyone who's your age was born before Google. There was a great moment in my elementary school years. I think it was 6th or 5th grade where they had us read this stupid article. And it was an article about GTA, right? It's like 2003, 2004 probably, maybe even 5. No, it would have been 5 or 4. Yeah, for sure. And somebody had like taken a gun up on like a roof in Arizona or like a hill. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I say it, roof, a hill. And parked their car hidden. And this is not a popular hill. There's not a lot of people who go up this hill to go to houses. I think it was a really, like, remote area. And people would drive by, and they would just shoot guns at the cars.
Jesus.
So, like, and people, I don't think anyone died from it, but a lot of people got hurt.
Yeah.
And when they were caught, they told the cops, I did this because of GTA.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And it's like, no, you didn't. You did it because you're a fucking crazy piece of shit. You didn't do it because of a video game. You're just out of your fucking mind.
Yeah.
And the teacher was very well like, we should all be... So she made us read the article and then put our own opinions about whether this should be video games suffering from this or not, but she heavily implied that we should be saying that it's video games' fault.
Yeah, no, it's like, he could have found whatever source he wanted to.
Yeah.
If he was that mentally unstable to be able to make those decisions... Anything could have pushed him over the
literally
edge.
He could have watched Rambo and then been in a forest
exactly
trying to kill. Like, that's just what it is. The people who are crazy who will do it will do it from whatever source they find. It doesn't have to be video games. It could literally be anything. And
it could be you bumping them on the street. It could be making them spill their coffee. It could be anything.
It's just amazing that that was the go-to of my teacher to say, like, well, it's definitely true, and you should say it's true, too. Because, and it was, you know, in Arizona at the time, which is a general Republican state. And in my experience with the Arizona people, they're very conservative about guns and about violence. And they say, well, this is because of this, not because of the gun, or this is because of this, not because of the gun. Like, it's never the gun's fault, but it's always, like, the video game's fault.
And my parents were always, like, against violence until, like, things started bringing in, like, robots and aliens. And then, like, when they got us Halo, like, oh, this is extremely violent. We're like, it's okay, though, because we're not shooting people. We're shooting aliens and robots.
We're taking out the aliens. Those aren't real. Play as the aliens, you're just shooting other aliens. You're not even shooting humans.
So there's never anything bad in here. You don't have to worry about me shooting real people because I'm shooting ridiculous shit.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. People will pick their battles in the stupidest ways. But yeah, that was the story of Night Trap, so why don't we just wrap that up and go right into our next section.
All right, so we are going into the best and the worst, where we talk about the best and worst parts that make and break your decision in buying the game.
Guys, I'm just going to tell you right, this game is hard.
Yes.
It's not... The novelty of this game is more attractive to me than the actual game itself.
100%.
So I'm just letting you know, anything I say, it's because the way this game was made and the beauty of this game, not playing it, is nice. But when you play it, you're going to be like, why the fuck would they even say that was a cool part of the game? Like, honestly. Let's explain mechanics of this game before we jump into this. This game is a FMV, like I said. So in the game, you control 8 separate cameras. I believe it's 8. I think it is 8. With the 8 cameras, you have a room for each. So bedroom, dining room, foyer, living room, yada, 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 hallway, things like that. Outside.
Hallway 1, hallway 2.
Yeah, outside. I believe you had a camera out there too. And you have control over traps inside of rooms. So when a enemy goes over a certain area, you can choose to trap them or choose to let them go. And the goal of the game is not to let the girls die.
Yes.
And so that's pretty much the game. There's no exploring. You're not playing as a character. You're just looking at it as if you're a security guard looking at a camera.
Yep. Yeah, it's very Five Nights at Freddy's, but you're not trying to... You're not in any trouble at all.
Yeah, the girls are in danger.
The girls, yeah.
And some of the SCAT team members are also in danger.
Yes, they are.
Towards the end of the game.
As Scott was kind of saying, this game is really hard. It's ridiculous how fast you have to trap and switch rooms sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's 10 augers you have to trap in the first just minute of this game. You cannot watch the movie and complete the game at the same time. You really have to just go boom, 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 auger to auger. Especially like in certain sequences where they're like right after each other. There's sometimes you get a little bit of time to sit in a room, but it's very rare.
The best time you get to sit in a room, I believe you get to hear the whole Night Trap song.
Yes.
I think that was something you were able to do. The goal of the game is just like each room might have a different scene going on and there could be multiple scenes going on at the same time. So in the original concept for the game, you couldn't, like, watch every single scene at the same, like, in a story flowed mode. You just have to go from, like, in some cases, it's literally you do this trap, you have 2 seconds to look at this next camera and do the next trap.
Yeah.
Like, there's a cool little guide online that shows you, because there's a timer in the game, it shows you exactly at what time to do things. Mm-hmm. There's a guide online that shows you at what times you should be in what rooms doing what augers. Because sometimes you trap an auger and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you let them go by, which doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Same with some of the other characters that aren't augers, too. Sometimes you have to let them go, sometimes you have to save them.
I'm trying to remember, was it... Shoot, was it 220 augers? Is that how many? 225?
For one playthrough, it's just like 100 or 110, I thought.
Why do I think 225 then? I may be thinking of double switch.
I think you're thinking of Double Switch, yeah.
Yeah, one of them had a shit ton in it. It was really annoying to do. With Night Trap, though, there's a select number of augers, and there's a select number of fucking endings you get, depending on how many augers you get and depending on what you save. I will say one of the best parts about this game is probably the movie. I actually really do enjoy the story. This story is so fucking 80s. It's so fun. It's stupid. It's like, it's a bad fucking horror movie.
Like if you've ever seen Mystery Science Theater, this would be one of those movies they watch and ridicule the entire time.
For sure. This
would be hilarious to see on Mystery Science Theater, honestly.
I will say the casting choice for the girls that they picked for the slumber party, so fucking hot. Oh, my God. All of them. It's insane. Dana Plato is, like, gorgeous during the entire game. I'm like, holy crap, you guys got some really attractive women in here. You're paying them each $20 a day. What the hell?
Well, it's just even funny because, like, that one girl in the bath, the famous or infamous bathroom scene.
The blonde.
She was talking about, I think so.
Or Megan. Ashley? I think it's Megan.
Whichever one it was. I can't remember their names. But yeah, she was even talking about like that scene, and she's like, "Oh my god, just because I'm an attractive male in a nightgown, they're like, she's naked." It's like, I'm not even close. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's really funny. Worst parts about this game, again, is just the timing is so fucking rough, guys. Again, you might have 2 seconds to switch one camera to the next to hit a trap.
There's not worse things as gameplay wise. There's just weird things. There's a scene. I think there's two different times where the vampire brother randomly brushes his teeth with a toothbrush that he just randomly pulls out of his pocket.
Yep.
They'll be talking, and then he's just like... And I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah, and there's like a little mini thing in here where I think one of the vampire... Is it the brother or the brother's friend?
It's the brother's friend.
It's going through like an existential crisis.
Yeah, because his girlfriend looks like one of the girls that's at this slumber party.
Yeah, and, like, he's a vampire, but he doesn't... Like, it's just... It's weird. He wants to protect the girls, but at the same time, he doesn't really do a lot to do that.
Yeah, he's just more like, you need to get out of here, or something bad's gonna happen. And then just walks out of the room.
Yeah, it's just... It's stuff like that was silly. Some unnecessary characters. There's, like, Eddie is one of the... I believe Eddie was the crazy guy. He was... He had like
the guy that lived next door who had the weird machine that could kill the augers.
Yeah, and he's basically, if you've ever seen what's that golf movie with Bill Murray and
Caddyshack?
Yeah, Caddyshack. If you've ever seen Caddyshack, he is Bill Murray's character in Caddyshack. He's the guy who's looking for the fucking gopher. To me, at least, that's what he reminded me a lot of him.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's silly. I don't know. The whole plot of the game is really weird in itself, but some of the character choices are really strange too.
One of my other, like, favorite really bad scenes is there's a scene where this girl bites into a blood popsicle and the other being like, oh my god, I think that's blood. She's like, and starts, like, screaming, and then the other girl opens up a random fridge next to her and there's just a body in there, and then she's just screaming even more. I'm like, what is this scene?
Yeah, it is so silly. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have for best and worst stuff, though. But yeah, it's a really interesting game. If you really like really bad B horror movies, or if like movies like The Room intrigue you, this is gonna be your cup of tea movie wise. But otherwise, yeah.
There's not a lot of you're gonna hate it. To me, the best part of this game is honestly the song, which I am going to talk in length about in here in a second.
The song is the best part.
Yes, and the casting. Honestly, I did like some of the casting is really fun. The women are just awesome. Like, they did a really good job of picking the right cast, I think, for this game. But the song, guys, I got to tell you, this song, it's so sad because it's not on iTunes. I looked.
No, it's not.
But I found a site. I'm going to put the site in the link. In the description. Nice. Because I want you all to be able to hear the song and download it for free. It's from a website that I don't know if I necessarily trust. I didn't use it. I'm going to try before I put it in. Don't worry. I'm going to give it a try. You have to sign up for it and everything. And it looks like it lets you download the old video game music, which is not necessarily available to the public always.
Okay.
Yeah, because they can rip the files out and they can take the song out. I almost thought that the song might be in the filing for the Steam game.
Yeah.
I haven't looked, but I'm sure it is somewhere there. You can just like take it and move it into your iTunes library or wherever.
That would be awesome.
I think you, I'm sure you can. There's no way you can't.
Yeah.
But the song is just, guys, it is like
top tier.
There's nothing better than this song in any video game I've ever played.
If you get the old disc for it, it actually was able to put into a CD player and different things would happen with the CD player. I don't know if it had the song fully on there, but I bet it did because it did have some other special features on the CD side if you plugged it into a CD player.
Yeah. This is just one of those games where they didn't... Like, this is before iTunes, guys. This is before, like, online anything.
Yeah.
So they didn't sell the song as a single. They didn't think they would be able to kind of deal. But if they did, I bet it would have been super popular.
I would have loved to see it pop up in a like a new movie or something.
I would love for them to go in. I know I read somewhere that they lost the master tracks for the movie, but I'm sure they still have the song. I did find it was written by, it's like five different people were given credits on it. And I can't remember the name of the person. It's like, starts with a B, like Bellew or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I just remember looking it up briefly because I was going to put more about the song in the in the story. But then I was like, well, there's literally no information on who the fuck recorded this or whether it was popular or if they liked the song. They don't even mention the song. Any of the documentaries I watched. Like, I'm like, guys,
the
come on.
Really mention it. I'm like, the song's the best part. And if you listen to our previous show before this one, we talked about this a lot.
Yeah, I love this.
This is our number one song brought up.
Yeah, this is like the best song of all time for a video game, guys.
It's the most 80s song ever.
It is, but this, you know, the game was made in 87 and then didn't release until 92, but it was made in 87, so it's par for the course of timeline for the song.
True.
But I'm telling you guys, I will put a link in there. I will find a way to get you guys a song, whether it's the YouTube link or it's the downloadable link.
I was going to say, you can listen to it on YouTube.
You can, which I'd love to know where that guy got it. I know you could download shit from YouTube. I just don't like doing it.
Yeah.
It's not as good quality. But
it's not.
The song is amazing. Just trust me on that. That is the best part. That and casting, best parts of this game.
For sure, for sure.
Which is sad because we can't talk about, you know, the controls or the... play style or anything. We can't even put that in the running.
Like we said, sometimes gameplay mechanics make the game. Sometimes it's the story. And if it's both, it's amazing.
And then if it's neither, it's probably a fucking song that's in the game.
Yes, probably. You could find the silver lining somewhere, and it's the song.
All right. Let's move on to our next little segment.
All right, so we talk about the first few hours of the game. Just our interpretations of the first few hours. This is mildly entertaining and weird and really fast-paced.
Yeah. The first few hours, guys, honestly, I don't think you're going to like it.
No.
Like, honestly, the first few hours are hard unless you have the guide. The guide makes it so easy. This is a game that they purposely made. They want you to watch the story. So they made it so you had to do multiple playthroughs in order to figure out how to trap everything and get the story in.
Yeah, so a lot of times you might even just fail because you're just watching the story, but then you're like, oh, okay, now I know next time I already know the story in this scene, so I'll just go ahead and go to the room I need to go to. And
yeah.
It's just that replayability and that like learning as you go is what you're supposed to do, and you're going to end up restarting the game because you have to start from the very beginning every time.
Yep.
So, yeah, you just end up watching this movie over and over and over again. And whether you like it or not depends on how much you can tolerate bad B-rated horror movies.
For sure. And honestly, guys, I don't even know what to say here. Like, if you can play through 30 minutes of it, you will get through the game fine.
Yes.
If you can't, you're just not going to like it. Like, that's the unfortunate part. This game is really... It's just meant to fail, and I don't like games where you're meant to fail to figure out the clues. I like it where you can instinctually figure out the clues. Like, they give you enough hints to where you know what's going on.
Yeah.
But games where you're meant to fail, it makes it hard to play it, and I know.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, like, one thing I would probably suggest is watching the full movie on YouTube.
Before?
And then, before playing it. That way you get the story, you don't have to worry about the story.
True. But definitely watch the scene where she's singing with the tennis racket, because that makes me laugh.
And she plays the tennis racket like a guitar.
She does.
It's her guitar and her microphone.
It is. It's a dual microphone guitar tennis racket thing.
Yeah. All right, so that's the first few hours. Next, we will go into the achievements, badges, and trophies.
There are none for the original.
For the original. But the 25th anniversary did bring in some Steve achievements, and I don't think...
I thought you said Steve achievements.
Steve achievements. I'm like, I slurred my word a little bit there.
That's actually, I like that better than Steam achievements. Like, these are the Steve achievements, my favorite achievements in the game.
Well, these are my favorite achievements.
Yeah, so now they're the Steve achievements.
All right, the Steve achievements. It's easier to say than achievements, badges, and trophies.
Yeah, it is. These are the Steve achievements.
Let's, I'm doing it. Let's go. I'm taking this. Master Trapper. This one's probably the one that takes probably the longest. It's for trapping 1,987 augers, which would most likely take 20 perfect playthroughs of the game.
God damn.
So, yeah, it is 100 augers per playthrough.
Okay.
So, two...
Dude, I must be thinking of Double Switch.
Yeah, I think you must be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is... yeah, it would take 20 full playthroughs of getting... almost all of them, or 99 of them. Actually, you would have to get all of them on at least 17 of them, and then
yeah. But if
one.
You, what if you just played the first 10 minutes of the game each time, and then
yeah,
just
I mean it would
that.
It would still build up, yeah. But like, I'm just saying that's a lot of replayability to get that achievement.
Because each playthrough is what, an hour and 5 minutes, an hour or just under? No, it's just over an hour.
It's like 56 minutes or something like.
Yeah.
That.
Okay, so just under an hour.
Yeah.
So that means you said 20 times?
Yeah, 20 times perfectly through.
So 56 minutes times 20, basically?
Which, 56 minutes is the entire movie. I think you can get through the game portions of it, and I think 35, 37 minutes, something around there.
Okay, well, at 30 minutes, that's still 10 hours of playing, just yeah. to get 1,000.
That's what I was saying. It's a little much. There's mm-hmm. a lot there. So next one is the MA17 achievement. This is for having nobody make it out alive. So they made an achievement making fun of the mature rating where you let everyone die.
Okay. I like that.
I thought that was really interesting. And actually only 2% of Steam users have gotten that trophy.
Nice. Well, how
same
do you
with the Master Trapper actually.
But how do you continue the game if everyone dies?
There must be a way where, yeah, I don't know.
Because once one girl dies, Oh, I wonder if you have to keep them all alive till the end.
Maybe.
And then, because remember at the end, you can get them all in that room.
Yes, okay.
In that glass thing in the hallway. You can do that with Kelly at the end, I know that. And
okay.
I think I remember them all kind of running upstairs, kind of like a Scooby-Doo moment I think they had up there.
Yeah, they definitely had the Scooby-Doo in the hallway moment.
Yeah, and I think with that... you could probably get them all at the same time, or there's got to be like a point where they're all standing on a trap.
Oh, speaking of the Scooby-Doo hallway moment though, in the like interview of the team, they have this like clip at the end in the on the Steam version, you can watch like this behind the scenes stuff, and they had this behind the scenes thing where they had all the cast and like the directors and stuff, like they had the director like walking down the hallway and turning his back, and everyone would hide in the hallway, and then like 20 or 30 people would all be like doing the Scooby-Doo shit throughout the hallway. And then he would turn around again, and then everyone would be cleared out of the hallway, and they did it like 4 or 5 times. It was so funny, but it was so stupid.
So dumb, but that I like that.
The other, and this one is the rarest and hardest achievement that anyone's got, Commander. Apparently there's a survivor mode on the 25th anniversary as well, and Commander is given to you by reaching round 50. And
damn.
Only 1.7% of players have gotten that achievement.
1.7% of players have gotten it, but only 1.7% of players tried.
Probably. Honestly, though, that's probably a lot.
That sounds terrible.
With how fast you have to be... like knowing and with a guide, I don't know if there's a guide for Survivor or if it's random, so that could be really, really difficult.
Yeah, no, I think I remembered the interview with the guy Tyler Hoegle saying Survivor was random.
Oh shit, that would be ridiculous.
Sure.
Okay, I'm definitely not trying it.
Yeah, nope, no thank you.
Fuck that. All right, well, that's it for the Steve's achievements.
Nice.
Now we go to the hunt for all the eggs. So I did find there's a couple little hidden secrets in these games. So during the credits, if you hit up A-A-A-A-A, so A five times, then you can watch footage of a group of Hasbro executives testing out the prototype of Scenes of the Crime, the game that was the first iteration that later became Night Trap.
No, so Scenes of the Crime was actually a...
It was a full separate game that was just...
it was a proto game to show the representation of what they wanted to do, I think.
Yes, but the so what I meant by that was... Because this was just a game where it was just five cameras. It was some rich guy. He was
you had to protect, watch over my vault.
Yeah, and then you can only go... You could only go to the cameras, but you couldn't change anything or do anything. And you just had to witness who was being sketchy. And at the end of the game, they would have all seven of the people, characters in the room. And it's like, which one stole from my safe? And you had to pick which one. And that was the only interaction you had in the entire game.
Still cool.
But then
I
took that idea and then decided to that the game that they had with the ninjas... And the rich guy with the girls coming over to the slumber party he didn't know about, that spawned off of that game.
Yes.
They're like, oh, a rich guy with a vault. Let's do that, but we'll have ninjas coming after that instead of some family member.
Ninja robbers.
Yeah.
Of course.
So that was really fun. Another one was if you put in the disc, the original disc, into a CD player, and put on track two, it says the phrase number nine three times backwards. And this is two different references at once. The first reference is it's a another game that they helped create called Sewer Shark.
Yep.
And this game, niners were kind of a slang term for left turns. So if you did three left turns, you would actually be on the right path to take to not hit a wall when running from the shark.
Oh.
But, the other thing it references is the old Beatles track Revolution 9 that when people played backwards would say, like, he's dead, play on, or whatever that thing everyone said he said was.
Is that the, it's gonna be a revolution.
I think so, yeah.
Well, you know, I think that's that song, right?
I think so. I think you're right. But yeah, those were the two Easter eggs that I was able to find. There is some, like, hidden scenes, deleted scenes that you can find in the game as well for the 25th anniversary edition. I don't know how amazing they are or anything, but yeah.
Okay, well... Is that
that's
it? And that's all
it
the
for
secrets?
All the eggs. Yeah, that's all the secrets that I could find. Anyway.
Yeah, the older games don't generally have a lot of secrets, guys.
Yeah,
it would be nice if they did, but they really don't.
Especially a live action game with actors that's very unique and weird. Like, I was surprised that I found a couple actually. So.
Yeah. All right, so on to our last segment.
Yeah.
Are we on next?
What's
segment?
It worth? What's it worth?
This one's hard. Like I said earlier,
yes.
I really like the idea of the game, and I like the ambience around the game. Like, I like everything that the game entails, but the actual gameplay is garbage.
So it's
fucking hard. I think I'm gonna give it four souls.
Oh wow, you went higher than I went. I was gonna go okay.
I'm gonna give it four because I love the fucking song so much that is just enough to push this game over. And the story of the game is honestly inspiring. So
yeah. I mean, this is one of those games I feel like everyone should know about just because it's a game that kind of spawned the rating system.
Yep.
And to know how ridiculous that court case was and to see this game in its full glory and then watch that documentary of that court case and everything, it's ridiculous. It's so entertaining to see.
Don't worry, guys. I'll do it for you. It's not documentary.
I know. As I said it, I was like, God damn it, I'm going to get made fun of for this.
Yep.
But, yes. It's just one of those games. It's so bad it's good. If you like I said, if you like those really campy, shitty movies, this is the video game equivalency to it. It's The Room of video games, and I love it so much because of that.
Yeah.
But I have to give it a 3 just because I don't know if I'll ever play this game again, but I love watching this. It's so entertaining.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's Night Trap.
Yes. So, yeah, next week.
Next week we are playing, don't tell me, it's Killer.
Yes.
Killer Frequency.
Yes.
Yeah.
Killer Frequency.
I was going to say Killer Network. I'm like, it's not Network. It can't be Network. It's got to be something weird.
Yes. This game is super fun, and I can't wait to share it with everybody.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, we will catch you next week. We hope you enjoyed this one.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Love you.